Talking Dot Golf is sponsored by the 2024 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Tournament week for the 2024 AmFam Championship kicks off June 1st with UW Carbone's Race for Research 5K run at the Thomas Zimmer Cross Country Course at University Ridge. That's followed by tournament play June 7th through the 9th across the street at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. The multi-Grammy award-winning band Train will headline the annual Friday night concert with opening act Kingfish at Bree Stevens Field on June 7th. Tickets for the concert and the tournament are now on sale, so head on over to AmFamChampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Champ has raised over $17 million for charity, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. He's Gary D'Amato. I'm Rob Hernandez. We are back in one place, a late podcast this week on Talking Dot Golf. I just got back from seeing Gary in Wisconsin for the Wisconsin Golf Hall of Fame committee. That was a week ago tomorrow, Gary. I went from you picking me up at the airport, us having a nice peaceful round of golf at Blue Mountain Golf and Country Club, thanks to Rob Jansen, and our Hall of Fame meeting that night with some of the greats of the game in Wisconsin. We'll also talk a little bit maybe about that, or we'll save that for the next Talking Dot Golf. And then you dropped me off at the hotel. Got some work done overnight, flew out, got here, had dinner with my wife, went to bed and woke up early the next morning, drove over to San Diego, covered Cameron Huss and Pearson Hunt on their back nine of the second round of the NCAA championships, stayed the weekend and watched Pearson Hunt get his team at Illinois to the match play quarterfinals where they lost again, drove back. Stopped last night in El Centro, California to post high school golf results from the WIA sectionals and was reminded about how fickle the game of golf is at the high school and college level. Every low seed in the NCAA tournament won yesterday over the higher seeds. So Illinois being the number one seed, they're out. And then upsets galore in high school golf. Gary, we're going to start by talking senior tour golf and AmFam championship, but save me your thoughts. Start thinking about whether it's fair or foul that we put so much stock in one day at the high school and college level, and it just kind of mean. I think the PGA Tour champions and the AmFam championship, 54 holes of golf, to me, the perfect amount. 72 can get to be a lot. I love 54, which is normally what, the colleges play for their regular season tournaments. But, we're almost a week away from the AmFam Championship. We just had the senior PGA last week and, we've got the, I guess what we'd call the appetizer this week with the, event down in Des Moines, Iowa. Only Mario Tiziani, Jerry Kelly playing in that one. And then it's AmFam Championship time. What are your thoughts as we get closer and closer here to the AmFam Championship?
Well, my first thought, Rob, is that, I just read a story the other day on Angel Cabrera, and he is on the alternate list to get in the AmFam, which would be his debut, you know, coming back. He got a visa. He's had a hard time getting a visa after all his legal troubles down in Argentina. He's out of prison and, you know, two-time major championship winner. I believe the AmFam would be his first start if he gets in the field. So that would be something else. That would be a big story over in Madison, should that happen.
Well, a big story in Madison, a big story in Argentina, and a big story, I guess, in the world of golf, because I think, you know, we're going to start having to talk about giving people second chances. And once this LIV thing gets settled, obviously two very different things. We're talking about Angel Cabrera being, you know, he was in jail for, was it homicide?
No, for abusing a couple of his girlfriends and ex-wife. Oof. Yeah, it was abusive stuff that he was, you know, hitting women and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, but still, I mean, that could be kind of, you know, I don't know. It's hard when, you know, everybody has their ups and downs I don't know if he, are you in favor of him getting back, getting involved? I mean, you've covered the Masters, you know, for over 30 years. And so you've probably had to deal with him and as a former champion. I mean, good for the game, but you know, how do you balance the off the course stuff with the on the course stuff, and then especially, you know, on the PGA Tour Champions where we're talking limited fields and, you know, you're trying to celebrate the goodness of the game. And I'm not sure, you know, maybe what he was incarcerated for is necessarily, you know, what we want to be highlighting.
Exactly. The one, I guess, positive in the whole thing is I've read a number of interviews and stories with him since he's got out of prison. And he seems, from at least on paper and the words you read, he seems genuinely contrite. He admits that he really messed up, that he screwed up. He's looking at this as a return to golf, competitive golf, as a sort of second chance. And he wants to prove to people that, you know, that he's a better person, that he's learned lessons. So hopefully that's all true. Hopefully all that stuff is behind him because he's, as you know, Rob, a marvelous talent. I mean, really came from nothing in Argentina, you know, grew up on a dirt floor, shack and, you know, had one club that he learned to play with, that sort of thing, and, you know, rose to become a two-time major champion. So it's a great story. I hope that that he truly is contrite. And if we see him at the AmFam, I'm sure that, you know, we'll be asking him some of those questions, and hopefully he's giving the answers that we hope to hear.
Well, never a dull moment then, is it, Gary? You know, and,
no.
And we, you know, this week the field at the Principal Charity Classic down in, and actually, I'm surprised he didn't get in there. You're right. I mean, I see Daly got in, and as an alternate, and gosh, if he had gotten an exemption, you know, as he normally does, Angel would have been next on the list. So it will, you know, that's amazing. We're getting to the point now that alternate list is getting pretty deep. Mario Tiziani in on his own number this week, and boy, that would be something. These guys are getting the guys who pulled out this week: Gary, Rocco Mediate, Alex Chayka, Scott Verplank, Mark Hensby. You know, I saw Scott Verplank at something, and then I know that he was doing you know, TV for the last I think it was the PGA Championship, and then you know, Alex Chayka was you know, at the two events I covered out here on the West Coast. And he's a guy that, you know, still is in great shape, but, you know, probably the start of that, Champions Tour era where, you know, these guys are going to come in having gone from the, you know, the Trevino Nicklaus era of, you know, having a good time after a round of golf to now this era, the Tiger era of going to the gym. And so we're losing a few guys. And of course, you know, Bernhard Langer just came back from the Achilles. So there's a lot of room for a lot of guys to play. That would be something. So we'll follow that. Steve Stricker came up a little bit short in his title defense at the senior PGA. What did you think about the results from there? Again, the depth of the senior tour really showing because you had Richard Bland, a LIV golfer, coming back to play in his first PGA Tour Champions co-sanctioned event with the PGA of America. And he wins it by three over Richard Green and Greg Chalmers, who's a non-exempt player with like five top 10 finishes. That's the other thing about this PGA Tour Champions. Your status is set at the beginning of the year, and there are no reshuffles on the Champions Tour. If there were, Greg Chalmers would be way up there.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a pretty close shop, hard to break into that top, you know, 78 or 80 guys, whatever it is. You know, you look at Steve's scores, he's at 66, 69, 71, 68. He's finished eighth. He's still playing very, very good. Jerry Kelly had a very good tournament too, finishing 13th, not as probably as high as he wanted to, but played pretty well. And the thing about Steve, he has not won yet this year, Rob, but you know, he's got, I think, five top 10 finishes and six starts, I believe. And going back to the end of 2022, he's got 25 top 10 finishes in his last 27 starts, which is, to me, is one of the, you know, more impressive stats in golf going right now, other than maybe Nelly Korda, the way she's played, and Scottie Scheffler. But yeah, Steve has been a model of consistency, just hasn't quite put it together to win, but I think, you know, a good week again.
We're seeing a lot of guys, you know, with, you know, that we haven't seen at the top of leaderboards. I mean, Scott Hend, Jason Karen, was part of the Corebridge Financial team from the PGA of America. You know, Chris DeMarco got his way up there. It's really kind of an interesting time on the senior tour right now, with the names and faces that we're seeing at the top of these leaderboards, making it, and I'll be interested to hear from Steve and Jerry next week. To me, it's getting tougher and tougher to win out there.
I think so. I mean, I think the depth is really good. It's as good as it's been in recent years anyway. There's, you know, there's five or six players who have played exceptionally well over the last couple of years, but then there's another 20 players who have, you know, played well enough to pick off wins here and there. And it's just interesting. I was talking to Mario Tiziani the other day, Rob, for the Hall of Fame story, which we may or may not talk about in this podcast. But Mario said, you know, he realizes he's not an elite player on that tour, but he thinks he's the kind of guy who could pick off a win or a couple wins here or there. So, you know, even you go down to Mario, who is, you know, certainly not a household name, but is talented enough to win out there, which just shows how deep that tour is now.
And he's fit enough to win out there. And that's the thing too.
Yeah.
And you're right, on the right week, when he gets the putter rolling, you know, I would think that in a field like maybe the Boeing or some of those events out in the West Coast, as we get into the teeth of the season where some of these guys start to take time off, that he might be able to pick one off and then, you know, maybe solidify his status out there for a while. I had to also ask you too, you know, we haven't been over to cover it, although it's right across the proverbial pond from us. This KitchenAid Senior PGA at Harbor Shores, I didn't realize was the end of an era. They're not going back, over there, and, they're going to start rotating. I know they were down in Frisco last year. And I thought I heard they might be going out to, Congressional for this one, I think, but, kind of an interesting move by the PGA of America, because this has been a pretty good, every other year spot for the one of their the senior tour's four majors.
Yeah, very true. You know, they built that huge complex down in Frisco, Texas, where they have, I think, three golf courses, and you know, it's now the home of the PGA of America. So I know that they want to bring a lot of their championships there, and they have scheduled a number of their championships, you know, men and women and seniors, over the next, you know, 15 years there. So I know they want to utilize that facility. It costs them a lot of money to build. And, so some of the courses that this championship, the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship has gone to, are not going to be in the rotation again. I hadn't heard that about Congressional, but that would be a great place for these guys too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to double check that. I've been watching a lot of different golf and a lot of different platforms the last week, and the senior PGA was kind of in, I think that's where we were looking. And I thought the same thing, that would be a wonderful match for, you know, this particular, demographic of golfers, because, that was, you know, one of the major championship type courses, in their heyday. We should also mention too, that, the AmFam Championship field will become final on Friday afternoon. We'll effort to do a special talking dot golf kind of analyzing the field. We do know that, at least, for sure, Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly, Mario Tiziani in the field. I haven't heard about Skip Kendall. If he's coming back, he hasn't played at all this year and, is more into the teaching. He's tried to Monday qualify a couple times. So we'll see. We're about a year out from Mark Wilson, maybe 2 years out from Mark Wilson joining the fold. So right now it's kind of a small, but, active group of, Wisconsin guys. And I don't know if we'll have any big surprises in the field. Gary, you know, at this point, we kind of, you know, what we see is what we get. There aren't many guys that are, you know, kind of only playing here and there. Fred Couples sometimes, but he usually makes an appearance in Madison. So we shall see. Any gut feeling as to what we'll encounter when the field is released on Friday?
Yeah, I think you nail it, Rob. It's going to be the usual cast of characters. A very strong field. You know, this tournament, because of his stature, it's the course, the galleries, everything that goes into it, and Steve Stricker gets a really strong feel for this tour. So we'll see the same names that we've seen, I think, in recent years. A very strong international field, you know, with Colin Montgomery and Darren Clark and Bernhard Langer and the, you know, Stephen Ames, all those guys coming back for this championship, Stephen Elker. So, yeah, I think it's going to be the last one, obviously, at University Ridge before it moves over to TPC Wisconsin in 2025. So it'll kind of be a bittersweet farewell, I guess. University Ridge has been a great host for this championship.
And as we record this podcast here on a Wednesday, I'm reminded that when I read June 1st in our read about American Family Insurance Championship being our sponsor, June 1st is Saturday, so the UW Carbones Race for Research 5K run will be this Saturday at the Thomas Zimmer Cross Country Course. You can run on the same course that the Badger cross country teams compete on, and that is Saturday. And then, of course, a week from this Friday is the annual concert over at Bree Stevens featuring Train and Kingfish. I know some sad news for Train fans. Founding member of the band, Charlie Colon, died at the age of 58 after a fall at home. And so they he was a bassist and a founding member of the band. Of course, as we documented earlier on a previous Talking Duck Golf, Drops of Jupiter and Meet Virginia, a couple of Train's hit songs. And so our thoughts with Charlie and his family. We should probably quick spray around the world of golf because a lot of, really, you know, topical and real life type situations, have happened here in the last week on both the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour. Let's start with the PGA Tour. Grayson Murray, PGA Tour golfer, took his life, over the weekend. He withdrew from, last week's event and then he was found dead. And, I know that, the world of golf is really trying to come to grips with that particular story. Gary, what was your reaction when you heard it?
Yeah, I was on a golf trip with some buddies up in your old stomping grounds in Wisconsin Rapids, Rob, at Bullseye. And I think we were at Sand Valley sitting around the one of the fire pits behind the clubhouse having a drink. And someone looked at their phone and said, wow, Grayson Murray died. And it was complete shock, obviously. I mean, you know, he had battled – you know, and he talked openly about battling some of his mental health problems and addictions, alcoholism. I know he had been sober for some time. He won earlier this year in Hawaii, and everything seemed to be on the upward trend for Grayson. But I guess you never know, Rob, what's inside a guy, what's inside his mind, what he was thinking. Just a horrible tragedy, and really puts things in perspective. Golf is just a game, right?
Yeah, and then – I guess it was just yesterday, at the run up to the U.S. Women's Open, Lexi Thompson announces that she will, retire, step away from competitive golf, after this season. And, you know, I think some people, you know, are, you know, maybe drawing a connection there between, I mean, Lexi's 29 years old. She'll, turn 30, next February. And, you know, I believe she broke in on the tour at the age of 14 or 15, actually 12. She was the youngest golfer ever to qualify for the U.S. Women's Open. But I believe at age 15, she qualified for the LPGA Tour, had to get an exemption to be a member, and has played ever since. And I know that there have been a lot of mental health challenges with Lexi, especially as it relates to her performance, especially as it relates to reaction to her on social media. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, topics in golf, Gary, that, you know, probably weren't there back in the generation of golf that you and I grew up watching, mainly because I don't think we were aware of it. And I think now everything's so out in the open. I don't think Lexi Thompson's doing this to avoid getting into the same darkness that perhaps Grayson Murray, you know, found himself. But at the same time, you know, you do have to put life in perspective. And if the grind of competitive golf, she's had some injuries, is getting to be too much. You know, you don't owe it to anybody to keep doing it. You owe it to yourself to find, you know, a happiness. And I think, even though it's a little bit weird to hear of someone who's not even 30 years old, quote unquote, retiring, it's probably in the best interest of Lexi Thompson.
Yeah. You know, I think she's been very sensitive about the social media, stuff that has come her way, you know, with some rules, situations that she's been involved in over the years, and with some tournaments she probably should have closed and didn't. I mean, we're talking about a woman who's won a couple majors, I think two majors, and nine times, I believe, on the LPGA Tour. I'm just, doing that from memory. I don't have anything in front of me, but she's been a very, very, very good player. And, but some of the things that have happened to her on the golf course have led to this social media. People can be so cruel on social media. And as she said in her kind of emotional news conference the other day, they're just human. And you go on social media and read that stuff about yourself, it's just got to really bring you down. And I really feel for her and all the other athletes who have to put up with so much of that garbage on social media.
Yeah, I talked to Mike Wilson, the Badger men's golf coach at the NCAAs, and he let me know that he's off of X, Twitter. It just, he doesn't seem much redeeming value in it. And I'll be quite honest, I'm seeing less and less, you know, interaction there that, and so this era of social media seems to be hitting a crossroads. And, I think when you see someone like Lexi, you know, kind of, you know, make the decision she made, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, why are we spending so much time on that? And, but she, you're right. You know, she won 11 times on the LPGA Tour, 15 times, as a professional. She won the 2014 Chevron, was a runner-up at the Women's PGA Championship in 2022, the U.S. Women's Open in 2019, and the Evian Championship in 2015. So she's got a tremendous resume, but I think the best legacy she's going to leave, Gary, is that she's another golfer who has inspired many of the golfers that are currently winning out on the LPGA Tour to play the game. You know, Alexa Pano, who debuted at the LPGA event up in Green Bay, you know, was one of those, and she may be another one that, by the time she's 30 may, be looking for a different career, because she was 14 when she started trying to play in some of these big events. And I believe got the exemption to the event in Wisconsin. We do start them pretty young. I don't know if that's something we want to look at. I mean, it really is, by the time some of these, kids get to be, you know, even seniors in high school, a lot of them are spent.
Yeah, and as Lexi said in her news conference, it's a profession in which you're pretty lonely. I mean, you have friends on the tour, but you go back to your hotel room, you're alone, you practice alone for the most part. There's a lot of times when you're just dealing with yourself and your thoughts, and you know, it helps to have a great circle of support around you, which I'm sure Lexi had. But I just think about, she's 29 years old and she's going to be playing in her 18th U.S. Women's Open. I can't wrap my head around that stat, Rob. 18 U.S. Opens at the age of 29. So she's been in that grind for a very long time, and it appears to caught up with her. And, hopefully she doesn't completely retire and comes back and plays here and there, but hopefully she finds some peace and happiness in whatever she does going forward.
Well, and you know, we don't rehearse this, this podcast, Gary, where this is all off the cuff, but what you just said about loneliness on a tour kind of, you know, strikes, a chord, because just yesterday, as Pearson Hunt, the two-time, state high school champion, 2022 or 2021 state amateur champion from Wisconsin, closed out his college career at Illinois with a 3-1 loss, by Illinois to, Georgia Tech in the quarterfinals of the NCAA championship. That was the first thing. He had just gotten done, you know, exchanging hugs and with his teammates, their families. And what's next is he's got, PGA Tour America's, midseason qualifying school up in Canada in a couple weeks. And, he talked about he hasn't played a lick of professional golf, but he knows from all the guys that he's competed against that have come before him, that, you know, the Harrison Otts, Thomas Long, Bellas, that it is a very lonely road out there. And he's going from traveling with 5-6 guys and a couple coaches to, now it's going to be him out there. And, you know, not that he's not looking forward to it, but it's going to be different. And, it's a difference that, I think makes you appreciate, whether you're a high school golfer, you know, wrapping up the WIA tournament series, or whether you're a college golfer wrapping up the NCAA tournament series. You sometimes don't realize how nice you have it being able to commiserate and share the ups and downs of golf with 5 or 6 other guys. And that'll be different for Pearson Hunt.
It's a big adjustment, Rob, to go from college golf to being on your own and being a professional. A lot of guys struggle with it, frankly. And, you know, a lot of talented guys we've seen that didn't make it. And that could be a factor, you know, because you've come from a very nurturing environment with a coach and teammates and, you know, people supporting you. And basically you go turn pro and it's just your family and maybe your caddy. And that is a huge adjustment. And we've seen over the years that some guys don't do very well with that adjustment.
So we will continue to follow all those big storylines at the national level. I mentioned Illinois gets the match play for the second year in a row with Pearson Hunt in the lineup. Pearson had a great third round when I got out there, and but a couple of tough rounds in the second and fourth, and then didn't play particularly well yesterday. Lost his match 3-2 to a golfer from Georgia Tech who was their number six, filling in for Crystal Lamprecht, who has been battling some back issues. I believe Crystal was the tall guy who played in the Masters this year, wasn't he, Gary?
I believe so, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and so, again, you know, everything ended and ended fast for the Illini. They were up in two matches big early. They were even in two others. It looked like they were going to get on to the semifinals and just had a horrendous back nine at Omni La Costa, and it's over. And Pearson Hunt, you know, Cameron Huss was missed the 54-hole cut by a couple shots. You know, played decent in his NCAA debut, but didn't play great. Again, you work so hard to put yourself in new situations, and or in Pearson's case, you know, getting back, you know, to the quarterfinals. But you know, I asked you at the outset, Gary. I mean, we put so much into one, maybe 2 days, and all of a sudden it's over. And I believe it's Florida State and somebody playing for the national title this afternoon on Golf Channel. And it's Florida State Auburn. And you know, is this right? I mean, and then WIAA, a number, Aiden Cudney out of Kimberly, who's been a fixture in the class of 2024, has a bad day, shoots 85. He's not going on. You know, Kirk Whelan had both of his sons playing for him at Milton. Brett, who's going to Green Bay, had a bad day, and the team didn't come close. Neither did DeForest, which had played well all year. So Kirk's youngest son, Cade, was in a playoff this morning with Lincoln Hopman and three others, 5-for-3. And Lincoln got through. Cade did not. I don't think Kirk Whelan had not been at the state tournament on his bingo card. We've seen it through the years. It's a hard, hard situation to deal with when we're talking about a singular day defining what comes next. And in this case, what's next at the college level, an NCAA championship berth on national TV. And at the high school level, it's a chance to play at Black Wolf Running Kohler next week in the state championship. It really is a fickle game.
It is. And, you know, perhaps as a society and as sports fans, we put too much emphasis on one day, on a championship. First, I remember Giannis Antetokounmpo was asked after the Bucks bowed out of the playoffs if this year was a failure, and he took umbrage with that and said, look, you know, we didn't get to our ultimate goal, but we learned a lot. We're going to get better. There are lessons to be learned when you lose. And just because you don't win a championship doesn't mean that you're a failure. I think you look at a body of work. I think that counts for much more than one day. But it is a little unfair that people put so much emphasis on, you know, getting to state and winning state or whatever level you're at. It's always we look at the championships and nothing else seems important. But or there's less importance on other things. But I think the body of work that someone puts together in golf, especially, is it should overshadow one day, although, you know, sometimes it doesn't.
At the same time, Gary, I guess the flip side to that is I was, you know, looking through the results last night and seeing a lot of my, you know, a lot of my picks to get through were, you know, not necessarily, you know, based on what they had done. You know, it was based on what they had done all year, you know, and the likelihood that they would continue to do it. But, you know, you sometimes this is a sport that doesn't often cater to people who are trying to break through. But yet, I think it was in Division III, Schtick, Weyerhauser in far northwest of Wisconsin, and Prentice, which has a nine-hole public course, they both got teams through for the first time. And, you know, we've also, you know, in the background of all this, especially the junior level, we've got a number of entities helping promote junior golf. Not only do we have the Wisconsin PGA and their statewide circuit, but the U.S. Kids Golf, the Northeast Wisconsin Junior Tour. The Chippewa Valley has a tour that mainly for adults, but a lot of the kids play on it. They also have Eric Holand's got a group up in Northwest Wisconsin with a junior tour. All this effort is I don't want to say leveling the playing field, but it's giving kids the opportunity to get to places where other kids who have had the resources or live in places that they've had the opportunities get to. And now all of a sudden we're seeing a lot more kids playing some pretty darn good golf. There was a kid at Wistosha Central yesterday who shot 67, and I got to remember now where it was at Franklin, so probably Oakwood Park, I believe it was Franklin, and wins. And Matthew Martin is his name, and I've never heard of him, so I got to look into that. Who's Matthew Martin? How did he shoot 67? he did it because he's had the opportunity to do it. There's a lot of opportunities to play down there. But, so while we feel bad for the guys who that we know have put in the time because we see him and we've seen him now for 8, 9, 10 years at the junior level, Gary, there's a whole new world of junior golf being exposed out there and in places that maybe never have seen it before.
Yeah, you're right about that, Rob. There's the depth, you know, we talk about it all the time, but the depth at every level keeps getting better and better, you know, better coaching, better equipment, better access, more tournaments to play as juniors than ever before. And so it's not out of the realm of, you know, of possibility that someone comes along that you really haven't heard much about and posts a great number because he's been working hard. He or she's been working hard and, you know, and has learned and has gotten better and better. And all of a sudden they pop a 67 or whatever the case might be. So, I know you're going to be looking forward to covering, you get back to the Wisconsin when, Rob, and I know you've got a lot on your table, here. But you're going to be covering a lot of high school golf in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. The next week, is the end of the road. It's the state tournament over at Black Wolf Run and Kohler. I'll fly in Sunday and be up there on the grounds, Monday and Tuesday. I haven't looked at a forecast. I hope it's good. We've had weather issues and those are never good because there's no room for, in the schedule for weather delays. It usually means a reduction. We've already had weather issues here at the regional and sectional. A lot of what was played yesterday was played in rain again. So we're hoping that, these kids have, paid their dues. And I think that also, contributed to some of the outcomes and some of the delays, the Grafton sectional getting delayed, the end of it till today, this afternoon. So, I'll be back then. To your point that, you just never know when someone's going to have a breakthrough. And the fact, the other point I wanted to make too is we've got so much golf going on. We actually forget or miss a couple things, but we forgot that the mid-season PGA Tour America's qualifying tournament is going on. Started last week, with two events or two sites in Florida and Alabama. And I didn't know this till I talked to, Mike Wilson, but, when he said it, I almost didn't believe it. Coulter Smith, who just completed his eligibility at the University of Wisconsin, qualified for the PGA Tour America's Canadian Swing. He finished T7 at 8 under par, 280, 70, 72, 66, 72. And so he'll have status this summer on PGA Tour America's this week if he chooses to use it. He entered that tournament as an amateur, but I would anticipate that if professional golf is in Coulter's future, he's in. And then at the same event, Blake Wisdom out of Lake Geneva, who's played in a lot of PGA Tour Monday qualifiers, he shot 76, 77, 72, 76, and missed by a bunch. Of course, it's the top eight or nine and top nine golfers at each site move on. And then at the event in Alabama, Zach Burry, who's had a really good year on the Monday qualifiers, he missed by one. And we've got two guys actually competing this week right in my backyard at the Wigwam Resort in Litchfield Park. It's Austin Kanzorski, who opened with a 200 par score 70 yesterday, and Clayton Tribu, who spent a season with the Badgers after 4 years at Davidson. They're trying to get status here in Arizona. It doesn't end, Gary, and Pearson Hunt, as I mentioned, will be one of several still to play. He'll be doing the one up in Canada, but I guess the good news is that the proverbial sun always does come up tomorrow, especially when you played your NCAA your final college tournament in June or in May Gray out in California. The sun will come up somewhere for Pearson Hunt, and in his case, it'll be PGA Tour Canada. But how about Coulter Smith getting through with an 8-under total?
That is pretty cool. I had no idea that these qualifiers were even going on, Rob. Just there's so much going on, it's easy to lose track of some things. I didn't even know that was happening. I mean, are there four qualifiers for Canada Swing?
2, 4, 6 of them between now and the June 11th through the 14th up in British Columbia is where Pearson will go. So, and each of them have 9. I got to see our friend Chris Richards of the PGA Tour, and he is now, he was in charge of PGA Tour U, and now they've expanded the staff for PGA Tour U because it's been so successful, i.e. Ludwig Oberg, and so he's back in communications for PGA Tour Pathways. And I told him that when Thomas Longbella, you know, won down on PGA Tour Americas in South America, what a great job Chris's colleague Greg Villalobos did getting us photos and interviews. And he said, yeah, there's a lot more emphasis on the pathways to the tour, whether it's through PGA Tour U, whether it's through PGA Tour Americas or the Korn Ferry Tour. They're doing, I think, a really good job of building the next wave of golfers. So in case we don't get the guys back from LIV, we're developing guys who are going to, fill in nicely. And, based on the golf I saw, on a tough course out in California, the future of the game's in pretty good hands.
Yeah, Rob. And then also we should mention that we've got, U.S. Open final qualifiers, on June 3rd. Is that coming up Monday already?
That's Monday. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So we've got a bunch of guys in those qualifiers. I wouldn't doubt if we get one or two of those guys through to the U.S. Open, which would be awesome to see us, someone, go through the entire qualifying process and get to a U.S. Open. We haven't had too many guys get through, both stages and get to the U.S. Open in recent years. And now we've got a bunch of guys to track on Monday.
And to show you in our final minute of Talking Golf, Gary, how fast the world of golf moves, as we record this here on a Wednesday, breaking news on Golf Channel, all charges involving Scottie Scheffler at the PGA Championship on May 17th have been dropped. So if we run out of time in this podcast, that all's well that ends well in the world of golf, huh?
Yeah, for sure. That was I'm glad to see that happen. That was overblown, I think.
Well, I'm glad. And I'm glad we have a happy ending to our Talking Golf. Gary, appreciate the time. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Rob. Thank you.
For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, Talking Golf is sponsored by the 2024 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The tournament is June 7th through the 9th at University Ridge Golf Course. So head on over to amfamchampionship.com to get your tickets for the tournament and the Friday night concert featuring Train. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.